Hello, hello, and welcome to the Healthy Be Human podcast. My name is Callie. I'm your podcast host, and I'm so excited you're here today listening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome, my gorgeous queen. Today's episode is all about relationships, dating advice, singleness advice, engagement, marriage. We're going to talk about it all. I feel like this is a much needed episode. We haven't done one of these in a while, and I have our favorite guest on the show, my husband, John Gualy. Welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So before we get into the topic of the day, I also asked you guys some questions. I asked you guys to ask us questions. So we're going to do a little Q&A in the episode. And I'm really pumped to get to those. Before we do, we always start things off with a self-check-in. So think of this like a time to just check in with yourself, see how you're feeling, see how you're doing, and just reground yourself. So wherever you are, just take a nice deep inhale through your nose, fill up your lungs with so much goodness, so much love into your beautiful body. And then exhale, sighing out, letting go of any judgment, any anxiety, stress, worry. Imagine your breath washing it out of your mind like a waterfall. And then whenever you're ready, just ask yourself, how do I feel today on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being I feel amazing, 1 being we're not feeling too hot today. And then hold on to that number with zero judgment for yourself and just ask yourself, why do I feel like this? Maybe something happened, maybe nothing happened. Just trying to pinpoint that feeling. And then I just encourage you to invite the Lord into it and ask him to show you the truth in whatever is maybe causing you to feel not so great. If that's the case, maybe you feel amazing, but if you're not feeling great, just asking him, why do I feel like this? And asking him to show you the truth in it. Maybe pause the podcast and really just sit with it. So oftentimes when we feel negative emotions, there is a reason behind it. Think of it like a signal turning on in your car, telling you to check engine lights on. That's what emotions are. And they'll either tell us if everything is working great or if some things are not so great. And now I want you on a lighter note to ask yourself, have I hydrated my hot bod in the past 30 minutes? If you have or not, grab your waters. We're going to hydrate in 3, 2, 1. Cheers, my gorgeous queen. All right, feeling refreshed. Now I want you to ask yourself, have I stood up in the past 60 minutes? If you haven't, stand up, shake out the legs, shake out the arms, get the blood flowing, and then sit back down. And now I want you to ask yourself, what is one big dream I have in my life right now? Dreaming big here, getting hopeful, maybe asking God, what is your vision you have for my life? And then hanging on to it. Telling yourself, I got this. Taking one step at a time. Okay, question of the day that relates to our episode is I want you to ask yourself, how am I feeling on a little scale of 1 to 10 about relationships right now? Maybe you're in a relationship, maybe you're single. How are you feeling about it? When you really think about it, do you feel happy about the prospect of relationships or do you feel maybe confused? Maybe you're in a bit of a situationship and you're not sure what's happening, or maybe you have gotten in a little fight or whatever. Just think about it and hang on to that because we're going to get into all the things, highs and lows of some relationship advice. Okay, that being said, we're going to quickly do a life update. John, what's an update in your life in the past week?
I think the biggest update is that I'm planning on going back to work for someone. It's been a heck of a ride since 2022 in August when I quit my corporate job, and I had basically worked 7 years to get to where I got. And then I did a year there and was like, I was just so burnt out. I hadn't really put the Lord first, and, I just wasn't reaping a bunch of fruit. But now I've kind of healed from everything that happened. I basically worked 2 full-time jobs in 1 year, with the hours I was working and everything. So it's good to be back and healthy.
How has the applying process been for you?
It's been interesting. Like, I started off, Callie and I prayed together about where I should apply and when. And I found this job posting based off what God shared with us. And it was kind of like a mix of what I'd done the last 2 years, which is like, like the finance side of things, but then also like the email marketing things that I did with you, Callie, with your business. And so it was really, it wasn't super intimidating because like the finance jobs I was looking at, you know, 3 years ago when I first got my finance job were, I mean, it was like, you had to be perfect. You had to score perfectly. You had to do the thing and be the guy and, you know, be the guy that everyone wanted to be, whatever. It was such like an image thing, but this one was like not super intimidating. So it was a good way to get back in at least. And then now I've kind of refined everything.
Yeah. That's exciting. An exciting chapter. I'm excited for you. And yeah, I feel like the Lord has been doing a lot of, like, I mean, he's been in both of our lives. I feel like in the past just month, honestly, he's just made so many changes that have been so needed and just necessary, which has been really beautiful. And it's cool because I feel like he's been refining you, but also refining me and also refining our marriage through everything and humbling us so much. Okay, speaking of humbling, a life update for me is our air conditioning broke last week, like completely died. We had to get the whole thing replaced, the entire system replaced. And for anyone who's a homeowner and knows, that is not a cheap project. It's our first like homeowner major expense, I feel like, aside from obviously like doing renovations and things. I've only ever rented stuff before, and usually like the landlord takes care of it. So it was a whole new world last week. But it was really funny because we ended up glamping. I mean, I say quote unquote glamping. I tried to build a tent in our backyard, failed miserably. John wasn't home, and he's like, John's an avid camper. He knows how to hike and camp and backpack. His survival skills are there. For me, I was watching a YouTube video on how to build a tent, but it wasn't the right model of tent. And also, I didn't realize the poles on the tent were broken. So I was in the dark. That was my first mistake. I waited too long to build the tent. I'm in the dark with the flashlight. I know there's these massive spider webs everywhere, but I'm not sure where. I'm just kind of like sitting there. Mosquitoes are flying around me. And I'm trying to build this tent. And finally, I just like gave up, and it was just in a whole heap of a pile. John got home at like 10 p.m. and he saw my attempt.
Okay, but why were we glamping?
Okay, wait. I left out the part. We were glamping because our house was so hot because our air conditioning completely broke.
It was colder outside, and it was better for us and our dogs to sleep there.
I'm also pregnant, and so I feel the temperature a little bit more than I normally do, I would say. So anyways, we were glamping, and we ended up not camping outside, but we put, if you know what a corduroy is, we put the corduroy like mattress thing in our, it's called a lanai, if you know what that is, Florida people, or for other people, it's a screened-in porch. We call it a lanai in Florida, but we put our little mattress in the lanai, and then we slept outside, and it was honestly really fun, but there were trains that ran like every hour, so got a little awakening to that. All night long, but it was great. And then our AC is working, and the Lord provided there financially. It's a whole testimony of the Lord's faithfulness and just how he does truly take care of us, even when financial things, anything doesn't make sense. Like, it's so cool how he does that. And then, yeah, but our air conditioning works now. Life is better. And I don't know. I talked to so many people last week, and I feel like a lot of people were just having a week. I don't know. It was one of those weeks, but new week. So anything else? Any other updates you can think of?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still pursuing music. And it's different now because I'm not just pursuing music, but I'm posting on TikTok at DJ Gwalls and sharing on Instagram and YouTube. And it's just like, it's really interesting. And I have so much more respect for Callie now, like posting myself on social media and my passion is very, I would say it's very vulnerable. Yeah. And, you know, there's been like comments or whatever that are just like trolls, but, you know, everything else has been pretty supportive and thank the Lord, the algorithms are pushing it to the right people that are actually engaging with the content and stuff. So that's new. Definitely, have never done that before.
Yeah. That's like a whole thing. I feel like when I first started, it felt so It was like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was vulnerable. That was the word, especially posting things online and like not just posting the perfect highlight reel photos of my week is perfect, but actually showing like behind the scenes of making music or behind the scenes of Pilates or whatever the case is. Just like showing, like you're saying, hobbies and stuff. I feel like that does take a lot of confidence. So go check him out. Go support his music. It's Christian EDM music. It's super good and it's very fun for your workouts. I have a little workout. I'll link it below. I have a workout, worship workout playlist on Spotify. And his music is on that playlist. And I will link that. It's a very long list of songs. So if you're looking for some hype up songs, I got you. You may have heard me talk about this before, but something I've been prioritizing in 2024 is taking small actions each day to improve at least 1% in my physical, mental, and spiritual health. One of those daily healthy habits I've been loving is taking care of my gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. I first started taking Seed way back in 2019 when I was having all sorts of painful gastrointestinal issues and was getting no answers from my doctor. During this time, I dove into the world of holistic health and learned how important a healthy gut microbiome is for the rest of the body to thrive and feel amazing. So I started consistently taking a daily probiotic for the first time ever and experienced significant ease in my bloating. My digestion became healthy and regular, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels and mood. One of the many things I love about Seed is how easy it is to fit Seed into my daily routine. No refrigeration is needed, and the free travel vial from the welcome kit allows you to take DS01 on the go, which we love, especially with summer travels right around the corner. As you know, I'm currently pregnant and I'm super cautious about what different things I'm putting into my body, so I definitely feel reassured taking DS01 over other probiotics because of their rigorous scientific testing and 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Cali and use code 25Cali to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Cali, code 25Cali.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On that note, let's get into our episode today, our topic, all things relationships. So when this episode's going live is actually going to be on our year of being married. So that's going to be in like 2 weeks. But I thought it'd be really fun to do a little episode on what we've learned in marriage in the past year and also do the Q&A and talk about singleness, dating, all this stuff. So John, what is one thing that you did not expect to learn or experience in marriage that you have learned in the past year?
Female emotions. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but I didn't understand that getting married to someone, specifically, you know, my wife, I just didn't understand how females really worked. Even though we dated and I had, you know, girlfriends in high school or whatever you call that. I felt very humbled and also grateful, when talking with mentors and they're like, well, you actually need to accommodate for this. And I was like, what? You mean she's not in the wrong? Like, I actually need to sympathize here, you know, and women are a delicate flower. That's what my dad told me on my wedding day. I think, yeah, that was one thing I wasn't expecting, is just like the emotional like commitment. Not that I'm not committed. What I'm trying to say is like the intensity.
The cycle.
High highs, low lows, all of it. But to knowing that like it's not attacking me, it's just like they, like you just want to work through something.
Yeah, I feel like I'm also a very outward processor. And so I don't really hold things in, specifically with John, because usually, like, this is something that I've also been working on, is I realized that, I mean, I used to be a very emotional kid growing up. I'd cry like every single day, which was a whole other thing. But I definitely express my emotions. And if I don't work through them, and a lot of times that involves talking to people and like talking to people about what's happening and all that stuff, especially when it's like really bothering me. If I don't do that, I find it builds and then explodes. So definitely I'm an outward processor, and you get to be on the receiving end of that. I feel like you've gone a lot better though.
What's one thing that you weren't expecting when you got married?
Honestly, I think like, because we lived together before we got married, and if you've listened to our relationship episodes before, you already know our whole story about that. But I think, I mean, I already knew how we like lived together, but I feel like, honestly, communication. I mean, we didn't have a ton of healthy communication skills. I'm not saying that like they're refined. I feel like we're still working on them every single day, but like, I think learning how to respect, like love and respect each other through communication, that has been a whole learning thing that I didn't even realize. Like, if you guys are familiar with the book Love and Respect, it's really, I mean, I haven't read all of it. I've read like a couple chapters, but we did a course at our church for Love and Respect. And it's just really interesting how like guys are so different than girls and how they receive, like, you know, like the five love languages. So that's more applicable to girls in the sense of like girls really like words of affirmation. Not saying guys don't have like words of affirmation, but I feel like you're better explaining this. Can you explain love and respect to people?
Yeah. In Ephesians 5, Paul tells the church that the wife should respect her husband and the husband should love her wife. And it's like, okay, well, why did Paul make the distinction between love and respect there? And it's because men want to conquer, and they, you know, they want to work and have conquest and hierarchy and authority and like insight, like they want to fix stuff and build stuff and tell people stuff. And women are like, I just want you to listen. I just need you to be here and tell me everything's okay and comfort me and make peace with me and be close with me and be open with me. And if you don't tell me anything, that means something's wrong. And right, like just learning that, like there's a difference between how the woman and the man think in modern times, and probably since the garden. So
yeah. It's been really, it's honestly been really helpful. And like, I will say, I mean, it's a very much like generic description, or it's a very generic description. And I'm like, every person's different. So I feel like for some guys, some things apply more to them. For some girls, different areas apply more to them. But it has been really helpful. And I think just understanding each other a lot better, specifically with, I mean, recently, I used to read that Bible verse that John just talked about and think to myself, respect. Like, I thought, I looked at it as a very much like patriarchal kind of verse. And I was like, that seems so outdated. Guys and girls should be equal, you know, all that stuff. But I didn't really understand what it really meant. And it's not that way. It's like what John just described it as. So that has been something I've learned a ton this year, and had to relearn and unlearn how I used to see that verse to be. And I think that's been really interesting. What else have you learned while being married?
Oh man, so many things. I've learned that the power of self is very weak compared to the power of God. Any sort of self-transformation I tried to will out by my own strength ended up failing in the end. On our wedding day, the night before, I think I got like 2 to 4 hours of sleep because I was in my like David Goggins era, which was like, just do the uncomfortable regardless of how you feel and get it done. And so I put away our laundry until like 2:30 in the morning or something. And it was just, I didn't get much sleep. And, that was April 29th of 2023. And so I was also putting away every dish that I saw, pretty much. Not that I was like, it was bothering me or I was neurotic or OCD, but it was just like, I don't like putting away dishes, therefore I'm going to conquer my not liking it by doing it. I, you know, picked up running a lot because I didn't like it. It doesn't make sense, but it made sense to me. Yeah, it was literally self-torture. But even beyond that whole era, like just trying to do things myself and pave my own path, none of it bore lasting fruit. Like it seemed like it did, but it was really just like candy, you know, and then I got a sugar crash and then it didn't produce anymore. So on the contrary, when I let the Lord produce fruit and lead me and ask him, hey, Lord, like, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? Who should I reach out to for jobs? Like all that stuff. It hath beareth more fruit. I should say. I shall say. Yeah. I shall sayeth.
King James Version.
So anyways, yeah, God's power is so much stronger than ours.
Yeah. I also learned that too. I feel like I used to be so individual, especially when predating you in general. I was always very much like the lone wolf, do it myself. Since I was a kid, I was like, do it myself. So I think being married, it's been a lot of unlearning that behavior of like self, only self, and actually operating as a team. Like that's been interesting, thinking about you instead of just myself. I know that sounds selfish, but like truly, filling up water. Okay, I see your water bottle is empty. I'm going to fill up your water too. Things like that. And even like decision making, not just like we've really learned recently with like big decisions. Okay, let's like talk about it together. Even if it's like something for your music or for job. I mean, obviously like that's your thing, but it still applies and affects both of us. And so same with me, like big decisions that like there's so much more power into. And so coming together before God as two and praying together about different decisions, I mean, that has been so powerful instead of me just doing it myself. Like there's a reason why God created marriage. It's more than just have sex and have babies. I mean, it's literally like this beautiful covenant and we're a team and there's so much spiritual power in that, which has been really beautiful.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
What's something that you want to continue working on in our marriage?
I think that oneness, like you said, like I used to, even while we were married and, you know, we got a dog and I was like, okay, we are doing this for our dog. And she was like, what? Well, like why? And I was like, because we are. And that's kind of how I was. I was like, we're doing it this way because it's the best. And she was like, why don't you talk to me about this stuff? And I'm like, why would I need to? I already know it's great. And that was pride. And you're laughing because it was so prevalent and I was so blinded by it. It's taken a year for me to figure this out, that like talking to mentors, like, hey, you guys are one. Even if God tells you something, you know, that doesn't mean you got to act on it right away. Especially if it's something that affects, you know, Callie or, you know, in your case, the listener, your spouse, like you guys need to pray about it together or wait until the Lord convicts your partner or spouse of mm-hmm. the same thing. I think more so in marriage because you're one flesh. If you're dating, you serve God first. You are not married. You're still two separate people.
You are not married. Yeah, I think it's funny. I was laughing because we actually had a bit of a disagreement, a bit of a scuffle this morning that was actually definitely had some pride in it. So we're not saying we're perfect on this whatsoever. We're still learning. We're always going to be learning. But I think it's cool because I feel like after a year of being married, we've both just like individually transformed so much in the past year, but also like our marriage is completely different since it was when we first got married. And I feel like when we first got married, I was like, oh yeah, like this is gonna be great. Like it's gonna be easy. We already know how to live together. We already know how to like operate together. And then I feel like there was so much stuff that was just pressed out of the gates. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Okay, what's a piece of advice that someone gave you this year related, like you're saying mentors, like what's something you've either read or heard from a mentor or from a book or anything that was a really helpful piece of advice about marriage?
I think the biggest thing was when I was talking to a mentor at church about combining money. I was like, hey, yeah, like Callie and I, you know, it's great. Like we finally decided to combine money and, you know, we're thinking of maybe having like our own accounts as well. And I was like, hey, like, what do you think about this? And he was like, the common mistake of people when they get married is thinking that they have their thing and their spouse has their thing. Everything is both of yours. Every bit of money is both of yours. And that was kind of a tough pill to swallow because I like buying music equipment and surf stuff. And just, I manage my money differently than Callie does.
He checks his bank account every day. I check mine like once a month.
Yeah. And so she's like, I don't know how much money I have. We can't buy that. And I'm like, what do you mean? We have like X thousand, you know, or whatever dollars, hundred. And so I'm like, we have enough money. And she's like freaking out. But we, it's because we had different, I guess, like styles of managing our money going into it. And I was very flexible with, you know, investments and all these different things. You know, my view on taxes and stuff, and hers was completely different. So that has been a great piece of advice. It's like when you become one, everything becomes one. Like you don't have your own blank, you know, it's yours and your spouse's blank. It's yours and your spouse's car. It's yours and your spouse's house, right? I didn't buy this house. We bought this house.
Yeah, it's so good. I mean, when did we combine money? How long ago was that?
That was about 2 months ago.
Yeah, so it's pretty fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, we waited a while. I was so resisting it, especially because, like, and this is something I'm still working on right now, is just, I mean, the income for the past year has been from the Pilates studio, the podcast, all the different things, all the different social media, business, whatever. So for me, it so long was like my money. Okay, I'm making this money myself. And I think it was really, I mean, when we were working together, like the business would pay both of us separately in our own separate accounts every single week or every other week. And it was like, it was still interesting because that felt like a separate, like still separate. We didn't have a combined account. And it was like, there was that dynamic, which was really weird. And then when John stopped working at the studio, then it was really weird.
Yeah, I feel like when we were working together, it almost encouraged us to live different lives because I was like, oh, okay, like I'm going to go to Chipotle. I'm going to take the car, like, because I'm managing my money the way I like to manage it. And she's like, I'm going out to this expensive place and spending X amount of dollars. And I'm like, okay.
I'm going to Free People Movement and blowing $400.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, well, but that's a business expense. Like, go for it. But then she's like, but it's my personal account. And then just, like, we just were very separate in how we thought of things.
Yeah, we were not aligned at all. And, I mean, I think for a long time, I mean, we were just simply in denial about combining money. Like, the idea of it scared me. Like, we were talking about, we had very different relationships with money, different ways of managing money. And so for me, it was really hard for me to like trust someone else with the money, because before I felt like I had this control on it, I still had my own money I could control. But when it was together, it's like, oh, okay, so I'm no longer just the only person who's on this account now. And it gets a really, it's a very interesting concept. And I think in general, like, it's really important to work on healing your relationship with money, even if you're single now, dating, whatever it is, because it, I mean, finances, I've heard before, are a huge reason why a lot of marriages don't work out. So it's like getting on the same page about it, learning how to trust each other in financial spending, just being communicative, and also thinking of the other person. Like, we kind of, I think we have, I mean, right now it's been a little different just because we, our financial situation, it's like a lot of things has recently changed with that. And so we've been a lot more, I guess, kind of communicating like, okay, maybe we shouldn't go out to eat right now. Okay, do I really need to buy this? Things like that. But I've heard advice from people that having like a baseline $100 and above, you talk to each other about it before buying it. We've been a little different. I feel like if you're wanting to buy, for example, like a music thing, you ask me if I want to buy something for like Pilates or for like, I don't know, let's just say a new bikini, whatever it is. We like talk to each other about it. But I think if anything, that's been really helpful because we're learning how to be on the same account. And that in itself is building trust with each other. What do you think about that? How we've been doing it so far?
Yeah, it's been different because it's like, okay, now I have to like justify this like $50 purchase. Before it's like, this is a no-brainer. And I feel like I have to like prove to you like, okay, this is worth it. When in reality, like I know it's worth it. And you don't know like the software stuff like I do. So that one was weird. And that was one of the first things, like that was the day that we had that conversation of like, let's just talk about everything. Like, unless we're eating out or something, let's talk about everything. And then our plan is to kind of go back over the eating out spending and see what that actually totaled. As both of us, not like, oh, Callie spent more, or John spent more, but like, again, we're one. So yeah, we spent more eating out. We need to cut it back, or we didn't spend that much. We can up it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird at first, but I'm getting used to it. And I think the biggest thing that helped was like, for me, I'm very much like, oh, we need hand soap. I'm just going to order it on Amazon. Like, that's how I used to operate. I used to just buy stuff for the house because it needed it. And now it's like, hey, Callie, we need hand soap. It's $30, like, or however much it is. Are you cool with that? And it's like, yes, I'm cool with it. Go ahead and buy it.
Your voice.
Well, it's just like a very, like, it's like a very, I don't know, like corporate conversation. It's like a getting approved by the boss. I don't know, but it's one of the things that helped a lot was, and I'm wrapping up this point, asking God if we need to buy it at all before we even ask the other person. So I had like a protein powder that I wanted to try, and I was like, okay, Callie, I think the Lord wants me to buy this. Like, it's cool with him. What do you think? And we both prayed about it, and I was like, okay, I feel like he wants me to get like this size. And she was like, I think it's this size. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's totally that size. And so we got the protein powder and we both enjoyed it. And it was great. And that was a great purchase because we were both on the same page. It wasn't like, oh, I can't believe he actually bought that protein powder. Like, he's such an idiot. He got the wrong size. Like, all right, like there's no room for judgment. There's no room for like resentment or bitterness because you're on the same page. And that goes with pretty much anything in marriage. Is like, if you two are on the same page with God, nothing's going to stop you.
Yeah. And also too, just adding on to that quickly, I feel like maybe you're listening, you're like, wow, that's a little extreme just to like literally both pray about protein powder. But
yeah,
I will say that I think in general, I mean, we're learning still. Like, this is such, we're new to this. We're new to having a combined account. And for me personally, like, I would rather be more detailed and build that trust together, just like in small things, rather than we get to, like, for example, our air conditioning breaking. When we get to a big expense like that, we know already how to operate together and how we make decisions financially. So I feel like it's been really awesome practice. And like, I'm really thankful for it. I'm really proud of us for how far we've come financially. So, I mean, two and a half months ago, it was a very different story. But I think we've honestly learned how to operate a lot better as a team. And that's been a huge, like, game changer in our marriage.
Yeah.
I'd say.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. I have another question. This is actually someone asked this question. And this is getting a little bit more vulnerable. Okay. So, someone asked, I'm going to actually pull this question up really fast because it's a really, really good one. So shout out the person for asking this question. I'm not going to say her name, but okay. It's kind of a long one. So this person said, I had a question I'd love to hear you eventually cover on the podcast. The topic is basically finding a godly mindset with sex as a married woman, particularly after having a past of sexual abuse or sexual sin. I feel like even for women who haven't dealt with either of these things, the purity culture of church, for those of us who grew up in it, makes this weird situation where you grow up your whole life hearing sex is bad. Women shouldn't want it, or men shouldn't want it. And then you get married and all of a sudden you're supposed to love it and not carry any not carry any of that negativity with it. So I wanted to just talk about that a little bit, because that's definitely something that is part of marriage. And a little backstory on our past. If you haven't heard our stories, neither of us, you care if I share this in
original?
Neither of us saved ourselves till marriage. We ended up, I mean, like I said, we lived together before we were married. When we got into a relationship is when we started getting back. I mean, you'd already started getting back to your faith a little before me, but that's when I got back into my faith. And slowly but surely, in probably 2022 is the first time I got convicted about having sex before marriage. I didn't understand why it was bad. I didn't understand why, like, what was the harm in it. And I grew up also in the purity culture of church. And that was something that actually really turned me off of church, is I felt like an imposter, that people, like, I didn't belong because I was living in that sin or whatever. So that was really, like, I got convicted of that several times. And we actually ended up abstaining for not that long. It
was like, yeah, like a month at a time.
It was like, yeah, we tried a couple of times, and then we got engaged, or we abstained February, I don't know the year. February.
They don't need to know the exact number of days.
It's on this specific date, you guys. But anyways, we got engaged for like a month. I mean, we didn't like get married because of sex, but it definitely, we were already living together and all. It was really hard abstaining while living with someone.
Sleeping in the same bed, for sure.
I mean, it's hard. So that definitely like sped things up. But I will say on my side, and I'd love to know your side of it too, it was really weird, like, when we got married, having sex and, like, relearning that, like, it wasn't shameful. It's not this thing that's, yeah, like, I had to relearn it. And so this question really resonated with me, because I feel like, yeah, I grew up, like, there's a purity culture of everything, and then all of a sudden you're married, and it's like, wait, what even is sex? Like, what's marital sex supposed to look like? All these things. So what are some things, like, I'm curious how you, like, what your experience was with it.
Yeah, it was definitely different than yours, because, I watched porn since I was a kid, like, probably 10 years old or something. And that was, like, more than half of my life before we started dating, which is just crazy. And so, like, I grew up, I grew up having a certain view of sex that was very perverted and super just like dark and wrong and messy. And there was a guilt and a shame around it, for sure. But the thing is, I was like, I'm waiting till marriage. And I lasted until my sophomore year of college. Then I was an idiot. And then I had sex. And then I was like, oh, well, now that I've done it, I can't undo it. So it's like, if my shirt's already stained, I might as well get it more stained.
So I felt too.
And then I kind of spiraled down and then hit a low point and was like, okay, I'm going to stop. And then got back into it in New York City, and then I was like, I gotta stop this, or I can just stay Cali and continue. And so we continued having sex while we were dating, like, since before we even started dating. Yeah. And then that continued in. So when we got married, after abstaining for, you know, a couple months and really like getting closer to God, both of us separately, I think that we had a new appreciation for sex, and also any sort of like fantasies or perversions, like weird, like things that we found attractive. Like, I guess that's a kind of the fantasy thing. It's like the blank fantasy or like what, you know, whatever. Nothing's off the table on this podcast, I guess. But
no.
I feel like that kind of went away. Cause when we got married, it was like, oh my gosh, like we were such kids, like doing like the whatever thing. And it was like, gosh, it's just so silly. So we ended up throwing away a lot of things that we didn't need and just getting rid of things that were like perverse sex objects or games. We weren't that weird, guys. I'm just, you know, no, for real. But that's how it was when we got married. And I'm sure there's a lot of people in America who are like, sex games. How is that weird? Or how is that bad? But they're unmarried. And it's like, that's just the culture. And I'm not trying to shame anyone. I mean, we literally did it. Like we were a part of that. My Amazon suggested was really sus.
I still get, like, I told you this. I still get suggested things, and it's bizarre because I don't have any of that stuff in any of my like wish list, whatever. But I'm like, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. So we got rid of all that stuff, and then when we got married, it was such a different feeling, and there was a lot of healing. But I think going through deliverance and inner healing for me was one of the biggest things that just blocked any intrusive thoughts of like thinking of, you know, things that I shouldn't while being married or while having sex or anything like that. So that definitely helped a lot, was deliverance and inner healing.
Okay, I want to say something and it'll make sense. Okay, this is what helped me a lot. Also, the thanks for opening up and sharing all that stuff. I know it'll help a lot of people. Because it's like, I mean, literally, this is a topic I feel like you either... I mean, I don't think the Christian church talks about it hardly at all. We hear most of our sex stuff from podcasts and TikToks and things.
LOL, this is a podcast.
Oh. Okay, well... Like, not Christian podcasts. Like, talking about sex and, like, the way that's, like, hookup culture. That stuff. I mean, I used to listen to all those podcasts a long time ago. I mean, not that long ago. Like, a year or two ago. No. 2 years ago. Anyways, doesn't matter. But what I was trying to say is I think what helped me a lot is also the, like, inner healing around sex. I definitely had a lot. I made a lot of decisions growing up that were not, like... They just didn't benefit me with sex. I think I was so desired. I just desired to want to be desired. I wanted guys to validate me and to make me feel like they actually cared about me and loved me. And so I was willing to do anything. And that being said, like, that definitely opened a lot of doors. And I put myself in situations that were really harmful sexually. And like, because porn is such a big part of the culture today, I think so many guys and girls too, like, that's just normalized. That's how sex is supposed to be. It's supposed to, like, believing that sex is supposed to be this like really intense performance. I mean, I thought it was like, I had to impress the person. Like, I literally, even, I mean, when John and I, like, I wanted to impress him. I mean, that's what even... What I was saying, the podcasts that talk about hookup culture, it's like how to give the best blowjob, all these things, like that is in our culture today. And I think when I got married, and I mean, it took a lot of healing. I think we learned, everything changed, honestly, in like December, January, when we both went through some deliverance and our healing around that. But realizing that when you're married, like, you don't need to perform for each other. Like, you don't need to... Sex isn't about that. It's not about impressing each other. I mean, obviously, like, pleasing each other and loving each other and all that stuff, it's important. But, like, there's no longer this... It's not about that. Like, okay, what I was going to say that maybe sounds a little different is when you really look at it, I mean, it's supposed to be the bride. So there's the bride and then Jesus. So the bride is the church and then Jesus... Like, if in the Bible, the whole, like, marriage is supposed to be kind of like symbolism of Jesus and the church when he comes back, like, he, like, coming back for his bride. And so what really helped me is thinking about, I mean, God created sex, he created intimacy, and like thinking about how, I mean, obviously we're not having sex with Jesus, that's not what I'm trying to say, but like how, like, would Jesus treat the church like in spiritual intimacy? There's not this performance aspect. We don't have to perform for God's love. We don't have to do things to impress him. He deeply loves us and desires that closeness and that oneness and that relationship with us. And so that creator who desires those things, he made sex. And so that is what marital sex is supposed to be all about.
Yeah, I got another point on your question. So one of the ways that glorifies God, I think, when having sex is walking by the Spirit. And if you're like, hold up, this just got weird. This is just weird. This guy is kooky and talking about spiritual sex. I'm not talking about having sex with spirits. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what Paul writes in, I think, Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All these things we should be experiencing when we walk by the Spirit. So if we're not feeling those things, we're not walking by the Spirit. If we're feeling selfish ambition, envy, jealousy, drunkenness, like strife, all these different things, outbursts of anger, that's the flesh. And so I think something that radically changed our sex life and our intimacy was, I think I was, maybe I was fasting or I don't know what was going on, but I was growing spiritually closer to the Lord, and he just convicted me of that, of like walking by the Spirit and having those fruits. And so like during sex, if I didn't feel patient, right? Like, we're getting into the nitty gritty right now, guys. So put your earplugs in or skip ahead 30 seconds. But if I was like eager to, you know, finish having sex, that's not of the Spirit. Like, that's my flesh wanting to live in the pleasure of the flesh. And so having that peace and love and joy, if I didn't have those fruits, then I would, okay, recenter myself. And I think that pleased God and pleased Callie, you know, even more.
Yeah, I definitely noticed a shift. I think also you were saying you would just like thank God for me and our marriage and stuff. I also started doing that too.
Yeah, like sometimes I'll like pray for Callie, like while we have sex.
And while this sounds maybe different to you guys, it's
or intense
or like we're the crazy Christian couple, like it actually is beautiful. And like I think I heard one person I'm friends with say that they like played worship music while they have sex, and I at first was like, okay, that's interesting, that's new, but there's just something so beautiful about it, because it's a totally different way of sex that I never experienced ever. I always thought it was, I need to do whatever this person wants, impress them, show, like make a show of it, all these things. And it's like, no, it's not about that at all. And also I wanted to please myself. Like, it's not about that. It's this beautiful thing that's like, it's pure and there's no raunchiness to it. There's no pain to it. And that was like, that was game changing. I also think just like getting delivered from all those just like lustful desires, honestly, like the fantasies, all those things, like just getting release of those things, like that was huge as well. And
yeah,
if you're like, what is deliverance? There's, I think I have an episode with your mom actually, where we talk about kind of how to do that. Yeah, we do. I'll link it below. But that's a whole other conversation. It's not this whole like scary, crazy thing, but it's simply just releasing yourself of oppression, of things that are not of the Lord and that don't bring peace, and just like saying bye-bye. So that was really huge for me. And also for like, if you have sexual trauma, I definitely, definitely would encourage you to really look into if your church has inner healing, going through something like that. You can also do inner healing with the Lord. I mean, like, simply asking the Lord to just guide you through it, asking him, where did this first start? Okay, Lord, like, what did I believe in this moment? And really just feeling it and just releasing those things to God and asking him to show you the truth, forgiving the person for what they did to you. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it okay. But it's saying, I'm not going to carry this myself anymore. I'm going to give it over to the Lord. It's in his hands now. Like, that was really, really big for me.
Yeah, it could be as simple as just forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from your heart, truly forgiving whoever wronged you. And it's not saying, oh, well, I was raped and okay, that makes rape okay because I forgave them. No, like, hey, yes, I was raped. No, I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer in Christ. And I release that person from the judgments and the debt that I thought they owed me to apologize or to fix what they had done, to restore my purity or my innocence or whatever it is. Because the Lord says over and over in Scripture, vengeance is mine. Like, if someone came in and you know, shot up your entire family and left you, okay, you forgive that person. Doesn't make that okay at all. But God's going to have his moment with that man. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. Yeah, that definitely, forgiveness. I was delivered from so many things. I mean, also forgiving yourself. I think especially, like, okay, let's say you're listening to this and you have been feeling convicted about having sex before marriage. And listen, like, I will say that you, like, the Bible does talk about sex before marriage. That was something I did not believe. I was like, no, it never talks about that, so it's fine, whatever. The Lord will convict you in the right timing, when you're ready to hear it. And so really just, like, getting real with him about where you're at sexually. Maybe you are having sex before marriage and you're just tired of this purity culture. Talk to God about it, simply. I found talking to God about it instead of talking to other people about it, like, that helped me a lot in changing my heart posture on it. I learned how to forgive the church who pushed that culture on me and pushed that shame and judgment on me. I forgave them, and that was huge. That was really, really big. And then forgiving the people who, like, I had sex with, and breaking off soul ties, all those things. Like, that was huge to refine that whole, like, freedom and all that stuff. So, anything? Any other last things you want to talk about with sex in marriage before we move on?
No, I think we covered it.
Cool. If you have any questions about that, DM me. I'm happy to talk to you about it. I will get into all the details, all the nitty gritty. I don't care. I'm an open book. I do believe the Lord gives us our testimonies for a reason. And so that's why there's no shame in our stories. Okay, let's get into some questions that people asked. Some quick questions. I mean, these aren't very quick, but we'll dive into it. So the first thing is, best advice on how to navigate the single season.
I would say get as close to God as you can. Spend as much time with him as you can. And then you'll find the one when it's time. And you won't have to worry about finding the one, because you're going to be in God's will. And I think just using that time to do what he's called you to do, because he has a unique reason why you're single at the timing that you are.
How did you not worry when you were single about, like, will I ever find the one? Like, how did you release those thoughts if you had them?
I think in college, my senior year, really wanting a wife, while I was worried about it, I also was praying for my wife. I wrote a letter to my wife, and my mom also, without me knowing it, prophesied over my wife that she was going to have parents that were together and would not get a divorce. And I was like, okay. And at the time, I was talking to a girl whose parents had gotten divorced, and I thought she was the one. And so that was kind of an indicator of, like, okay, well, I don't, even though I feel strong feelings for this person, I kind of know that she's not the one. But yeah, I guess that's kind of one way to not worry about it, is to just, like, hear from the Lord. Like, it wasn't that my mom spoke to me, it was that the Lord spoke through my mom to me about that. So I think just hearing from the Lord, which you have several episodes about, which, I mean, you can hear through him in Scripture. He talks, you know, it's not, maybe not like an audible voice, like, wah, 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 you should go to Best Buy right now, right? Like, maybe, but not often for me. I don't think I've ever heard, like, the audible voice. But in Scripture, hey, just randomly flip open my Bible and it's like, boom, that verse just, like, smacked me in the face and I needed to hear it. And this is for my sanctification and God's glory. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just adding on about the season of singleness is, I mean, I was a serial dater, so I didn't really have a lot of season of singleness. Looking back, though, I wish that if I could go back, I would definitely encourage my younger self to find contentment in where I was instead of longing for what's next in my life and being so caught up in the future and not focused on the present moment, because I definitely missed out on things that God had in store for me because I was so focused on, I want to be a wife, I want to be a girlfriend, I want to be a fiance, all these things. What's the next milestone? And I think it's really easy to get caught up in that, especially in singleness. Like when I was, to be totally transparent, when I would be single for like 1 month, the immediate thing I would do is I would go out and try and meet a guy immediately. And I know a lot of people do that, but I was so uncomfortable with being alone. And I mean, I definitely didn't have the Lord when I was single, but I mean, I encourage you, like, especially if you're growing in your faith, listening to this, really just press into God during the uncomfortable seasons, during those times when you are maybe in the waiting or when you are desiring to be in the next place, but he has you where you are for a reason. Like pressing in, seeing what he has in store for that, because there's a reason why he has you where you are. And either it's he's teaching you something, he's going to use you for something in that, but really just pressing in on that. And I think even now, I mean, just like being pregnant, I'm going to be a mom soon. So, okay, how can I find contentment in this current waiting season while the baby grows in my belly before we get into the next season? I think that's where so many of us miss out on life, is we're so ready for the next thing. But that's my piece of advice. Wait, are you going to say something?
Well said.
Thank you. Okay, let's do like two more quick questions, just quick answers. Okay, how did you know that he was the one?
How did I know that I was the one? No.
Okay, funny story. I actually have a video of me saying that John, I'm going to marry John Gwally. This is like literally years ago before we were even dating or even when we were...
Acquaintances. Friends who loved each other but didn't know they loved each other.
Yeah.
But kind of knew they loved each other.
I knew he was the one. I mean... It's really funny though, because I mean, like I said, I dated so many people and I definitely had people always like, oh yeah, like this is the person I'm going to marry, all the things. With John, he was the person that I could really imagine myself walking down the aisle and actually marrying. The person before that, dated for 4 years, could not imagine myself doing that, which was really interesting. And like, that in itself was telling to me, because like something in my gut just like told me that was not the right person. I just like had that gut drop when I try and think about it. I was like, there's just something off there. But with John, like I think it was the Lord, to be honest. It was definitely, we knew within a month of dating.
Yeah. Like the way I knew Callie was the one was I found her just exquisite, like just tremendously beautiful. And it was like a connection like I had never had. And you say, oh, well, I've had that when I had this fling with a person for a month and then we ended up breaking up. So, John, why are you telling me this? I'm telling you this because Callie said, like, I couldn't get Callie out of my mind. Like, I would just like obsess over her, like not in an unhealthy way, but like, wow, she is just beautiful. Like, I would hold the Snapchat so that it could last longer. Aww. Type thing, you know? I would just like, I would linger on it because she was just so pretty. And, you know, we just really hit it off and had a personal connection first. She was just the person that I couldn't forget all of college. I mean, for the 4 years that we like really loved each other, I couldn't forget her. And actually, once we both made it through college, literally within a week of me moving to New York to start my job, I texted her back finally. And I was like, hey, what you doing? Like, you should come up to New York. You'd love it here. I would love you here. But I didn't say that. I was like, yeah, you'd love it here. And she was like, oh my gosh, I go there all the time. And so it was like, I wanted to be with her. Yeah. And sadly, I was with someone else at the time that I texted her. That's how badly I wanted to be with her. And so was she. But But like, that's how I knew.
Yeah. Our relationship was not the perfect love story by no means. I mean, there was cheating involved. Like, I cheated on someone with John, and that was the whole thing. But we like didn't talk for so long. We had a whole falling out, John and I, after that happened. But the thing is, like John was saying, I couldn't get him out of my mind. I could get over every single guy I ever dated, and I dated a lot of different people. I could get over them all. But with John, he just, for years, like, I just couldn't get him out of my head. He would just come up and like, he would just pop up in my mind, and we bonded a lot over music and stuff like that. So I think that was our special connection and story for sure. Okay, moving on to the next question. Let's do two more questions. Tips on making medium or long distance easier. We did long distance for 6 months.
Yeah, I would say figure out a way to extend your trip. Like, if you have a friend who lives in your boyfriend or girlfriend city, I don't know that there's a lot of guys listening to this, but if there are, okay, your partner's city, stay with one of your friends, or like ask them if you can, and you know, offer to like make them food or buy them food or something. It's cheaper than staying in a hotel. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. And hang out with them, like do life with them, and then go back over to your friend's place to sleep. Don't sleep over. Don't do that.
Can't sleep on the couch?
You could sleep on the couch, yeah.
Yeah.
But just to fight the temptation to do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd just be best. Set yourself up for success. Yeah, set yourself up to not have any regrets. But I would say, yeah, flights can be expensive if you're just doing like a weekend trip. And if you're like, well, John, I work in person and I can't extend my trip. Figure it out. I don't know how you do that.
I mean, we were blessed in the fact that you got to work from home because of the pandemic happening.
I'm sorry, guys. That was not helpful. That was really mean of me to just say figure it out.
Extend your trip. Okay, but that was our experience. But honestly, okay, I think aside from visiting each other as much as we could, and like, obviously that's not always financially possible for everyone. We definitely had a really blessed situation in that. But I think really just getting to know each other deeply on an emotional level, FaceTiming as much as you can. Like, we would FaceTime and just hang out on FaceTime. It wasn't like, let's have a very long conversation for hours. Like, we literally just FaceTime each other and do chores and hang out. And we made it feel like we were together. That was really fun for me. And I feel like it made just seeing each other in person even more special. And it definitely helped us grow on such an emotional level, because it wasn't like, oh, I love you, let's go have sex now. Like, yeah, it wasn't like that.
Exactly. And our FaceTimes were not like, oh, I love you, I miss you, like, oh no, don't go now, okay, like a 30-minute goodbye of like super, you know, kind of unhealthy. I'm not trying to judge or anything. I'm just saying it wasn't like we were keeping each other from doing our lives, if that's what you're afraid of when hearing like we just FaceTimed all the time. It wasn't like she was this controller and I had to answer every FaceTime. It was like, hey, I want to FaceTime. And I was like, okay, like, I'll call you in an hour. Cool. Yeah.
Also, I have a friend who's doing long distance right now with her boyfriend, and they set up FaceTime dates, which is so fun. Like, they'll do little movie dates where they FaceTime each other and watch a movie together, or like they make it exciting. And I feel like that's such a fun, they've been doing long distance for years. Like, they are very good at long distance, and that is something that I think is really cute and fun that they do. I also think just being in communication as much as you can without being controlling or being like super, codependent, but like just rather texting throughout the day or texting after work, calling each other, just like making it special. I think long distance is beautiful, and I honestly love that we got to do long distance, because yeah, while we did visit each other a lot, I feel like we also really got to grow emotionally and build that foundation, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, I think like with any relationship, you know, you should be the most vulnerable with your partner of anyone. So if you're like, well, how much should I talk to my partner? How much should I talk to my boyfriend? You know, if you think you want to grow closer to him, I think just trusting him with more of you, like, and that's hard. I can't, I have past in the past. I trusted people and oh my gosh, he just hurt my feelings again. And he had sex with me and then told me he never wanted to be with me or whatever it is, right? Like, I pray that you heal from that. And that it's hard, right? It's hard to trust, but trust is not demanded. You can't say, you know, well, you can, but I'm just saying it's not trusting to say, give me your location, right? Like at all times. Why? Because I want to know. Like, mm-hmm. I freely gave Callie my location because I have nothing to hide, yeah. Right? And I don't know if she gave me hers. I think she did. Yeah. I mean, because she had nothing to hide, but it wasn't like, I demand you to trust me. It was like, hey, like the more vulnerable we got with each other, you know, the closer we got. And yeah.
And also just like going on that whole trust thing, because I feel like this is the final question we'll answer. It's dealing with relationship anxiety, doubt, or dealing with relationship anxiety, self-doubt, worries about them leaving, etc. Like, I struggled a lot with trusting John. Honestly, like, it's continuously a work in progress. I was in relationships where I dated someone who had a girlfriend the entire time we dated. So I've been a cheater before, so I know what that side looks like. I also know what it feels like to be cheated on. And it definitely sucks. And it definitely, that can have the lingering effects of how could I ever trust anyone else when I've been hurt so many times. But I will say, like, you know, sometimes in a relationship, like, it's vulnerable and that can feel scary, but you got to put yourself out there. And I think really just trusting and have, like, from the beginning of the relationship, having that foundation of, like, we're always going to be honest with each other. Honesty is the best way to build trust. And really having that foundation of honesty and forgiveness, forgiving each other if one of you guys messes up. Obviously not saying go cheat on each other all the time, but I'm just saying, like, that's a really beautiful foundation to have. And just being open with each other, because as there's vulnerability amongst you guys and honesty, that is how trust is formed. Trust isn't formed by saying you can trust me. Trust is formed by actually showing that through actions. And one of those actions is honesty and not hiding things. If you feel like your partner is being sneaky and hiding, and maybe that's why you're feeling anxious about your relationship, straight up confront them about it. I would do it. I'd be like, hey, I've been feeling this way. Can we talk about this? And if they are unwilling to, like, if it continues, I mean, I would pray about it and see what God says and ask him if this is the right person, keep the door open. But if it's not, can you close the door, Lord? So I think ultimately with any worries, just give them up to God and stay in just constant open communication with your partner.
Yeah. I think one thing I wish I had done when Callie and I started dating is, you know, I did have anxiety because I had had a really kind of rough breakup with the last, with my last girlfriend before Callie. And so it was kind of my fault. But it just turned into this whole, like, somewhat traumatic thing and, you know, verbal insults and stuff over FaceTime. And because we were dating long distance. But I think when I was dating Callie, you know, basically the reason I broke up with my ex, that we broke up, is kind of something that haunted me of, like, okay, well, I really hope this doesn't happen again with Callie, because, like, she's the one and I really don't want to lose her, you know? And I think if I had just forgiven myself for doing that and then took away any opportunities to do that, like, for reference, I danced with some other girls at a concert while I was dating my ex. Oh, John, how could you? Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, save it. But I know, I understand what I did was wrong. And I think had I realized in that moment, oh, I probably shouldn't go out to concerts while I have a girlfriend if she's not there.
Or while you're blackout drunk or hammered.
Either. Yeah. And then, yeah, I think just removing any opportunities to to have that those anxieties fulfilled, if that makes sense. Like, oh, I'm anxious that I'm going to cheat, or I'm anxious that she'll find out that I watch porn, or like I, or, you know, whatever it is in your case, like I'm anxious that, you know, he'll see the real me, and, you know, I just don't want to tell him about my finances, or I just don't want to tell him about my family problems. Cause you know, we're just, we just don't need to talk about that right now.
Remember when I cried because I didn't want you to know I was poor because my heel broke because my shoes were cheap.
Girls love openness, and guys appreciate it when it's not in like a victim-y way, like save me. But yeah, it's that's one way to fight anxiety, I think. That's kind of specific, but I think self-doubt and worries about them leaving. I mean, I would really get with the Lord and figure out why you're doubting your self-worth. And I'm not trying to like challenge you and be like, stop challenging, you know, stop doubting yourself or else. What I'm saying is like the Lord has given you a royalty. Like you are a part of a royal priesthood. You are royalty in God's kingdom. You're a child of God. And so you don't, those feelings of self-doubt or self-pity or, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not, you know, I don't deserve to have my needs fulfilled. Those are lies from Satan. I'm just exposing them. I'm not trying to, you know, wreck your world or accuse you of anything. I'm just saying this is how it is. Like, we are children of the Most High God, and He provides and He loves, and all, everything that He does for us is good, and all our thoughts are true, noble, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. When we dwell on the Lord. So I think with like the person leaving, right? Okay. Think about and get with the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, like, hey, can you show me when this feeling first started? Maybe it was your childhood when, you know, your parent didn't pick you up from band practice and you were left alone and you thought that they left you and you were crying in the corner and no one was there. And then your teacher walked back in and was like, hey, why are you crying? And you're like, my parents weren't here, right? And you just totally forgot about this moment in your life. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, is revealing this to you. Moments like that can have a tremendous impact. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, I was so close with my dad and then he got a promotion at work and stopped hanging out with us as much. And I just have the fear that my spouse or my partner is going to do the same thing. He's just not going to have time for me. Mm. Right. Really healing the root cause, getting with God and saying, God, I'm tired of feeling this way. I know this isn't from you because you desire that I have peace and love and joy and all these things that are from the Spirit. So inner healing.
Yeah, just something I want to quickly add on that's not really a question or anything, but I just thought of it. And it's no matter what your past has been, whether you've been cheated on, you've cheated on someone, you've had sexual abuse, you felt like your father didn't love you or left you or whatever the case is, whatever the past has held, you don't have to let that continue to define you. You don't have to let those labels define you or hold on to them. Because the past doesn't have to define us. And I talk about that in the episode where I share my testimony. I definitely made a lot of choices in my life, a lot of decisions that hurt others, that hurt myself. And I can't go back. But I can either continue to live this life in the calling that God has on me and live as in the identity that He has given me, or I can continue to dwell on who I used to be and feel guilty and feel shameful for it and hold on to all these things. But that's what the enemy wants us to do, because he wants us to be disempowered. He wants us to be led into destruction and be pulled away from God ultimately. So that's my encouragement to you, is like John was sharing about inner healing. There is so much power in inner healing. And it's like, I think honestly, for most of our life, we're going to go through inner healing, because it's like an onion being just peeled and peeled and peeled, and God shows us new things to inner heal from. But it's beautiful, it's empowering, and that has allowed me to walk into our marriage truly like in this empowered way. That's, there's not that like haunting fear of, oh, am I gonna cheat on my husband because I used to do that? Like, no, because I'm not going to hold on to that identity anymore. That's not me. I don't lie, I don't sneak around, I'm loyal. And if those thoughts enter your mind, I encourage you to give them to God. I encourage you to speak out the truth out loud until you believe it and really dive into who God says you are. So that's the ultimate, my ultimate encouragement for you is find your identity in Christ before anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't fight flesh and blood. What you see is not all that's happening. You know, there's a spiritual realm where we're fighting, you know, the powers of darkness, demons, principalities, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, self-worth and all that, you know, it goes deeper than just like, I feel sad today. Maybe it's because I'm hungover, right? Like there is probably a lot more to that feeling. I mean, there was in my case, I, you know, was depressed for a lot of reasons, but
yeah, anyways. Yeah. And sometimes it just takes asking that question to really get into it, which is also really cool too.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good way to wrap it up. Thanks for listening, guys. If you made it this far, let's go. Loyal listener. But I truly do pray that this episode would help you, whether you are, whatever season you're in. I pray it would just help you. These are things I wish I knew before getting married. And I'll say this too. I mean, there is no perfect time for anything. No perfect time. Actually, I take that back. God's timing is perfect. But when we think that everything has to be perfect in our lives, that we have to be our best, highest self ever, that like our finances have to be perfectly in order, all these things before we get married, let me tell you, marriage does not mean that everything resolves itself once you get married. Like, if anything, it presses things out. You grow into a totally different version of you. And I encourage you, like, to strip away any sort of expectation that marriage is going to solve everything, because it's a continuous journey. And I think that's something I wish I knew. And it definitely makes it a lot easier knowing that, like, okay, like we're gonna be working together and learning how to operate as a team. So that's my last thing.
Yeah, and I think my final thing is, and the Lord revealed this to me in a dream actually, but he said, this season of life that I'm going into, he told me to keep my habits because it's harder to build them when I break them. It's harder to rebuild them than it is to keep them. And I said, okay. So I want to encourage you, listener, with, you know, if you're in a season of singleness or dating or whatever it is, you know, start to build good habits. And I'm not talking about being neurotic about the dishes and hurting, you know, pushing through stuff that causes you to get injured like I did with running and taking cold showers every morning. But hey, I mean, if you like that, great. If you like it because you hate it, maybe there's something to unpack there, like there was for me. But great habits will stay with you, and so will bad habits. So I would say, I mean, as soon as I knew Callie was the one, literally like a month into us dating, I was like, I'm quitting nicotine. And I smoked, not cigarettes, but like vapes. I vaped and like did Zen and all this stuff. That was just the fraternity culture. I was like, okay, like this just feels good. There's nothing wrong about it. Like, I'll just quit. Like, I've quit before. I'll just quit again, whatever. And then I knew I was going to marry Callie like a month into dating. And I was like, I want to get rid of this forever and I like started crying kind of. I was like, I want to be there in a rocking chair next to you. And I don't want that chair to be empty like when we're 80. So like, that's why I quit. Right. And so breaking those bad habits, breaking the partying, the, you know, I'm not shaming that or anything, but whatever bad habits you feel like you have, like, oh, well, I just spend my entire paycheck and I don't save anything. Hey, listen, that was me in New York. I understand if you're not making that much money in New York, but I was making enough to save and I just spent it all. So, but after my 401k, so I was far more responsible. I would also invest, but I would spend everything else. So I didn't really accumulate much wealth. Anyways, I'd say break the bad habits now, regardless if you're single, dating, engaged, married. Just break the bad habits. Break them, break them, break them, keep breaking them, and just keep breaking them. Mm. And then keep doing the good ones and replace those bad habits with good ones but don't put so much pressure on yourself. Like Callie told me how to build a workout routine, and she said, start small. Start with, I want to do one a week, and do one workout a week. Next week, you do it. Okay, I'm going to do two workouts this week. Two doable workouts. Okay, did you do it? Yeah, okay. Next week, I'm going to do three doable workouts this week. Did I do it last week? No. Okay, so maybe I'll try three again. If I don't do it, I'll go back down to two. Mm-hmm. Right? And just building habits that way as well, regardless of fitness or, you know, spending time reading the Bible or growing closer to God or praying or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. For real. Also, just learning how to love yourself. In the Bible, it straight up says, like, love others as you love yourself. So if you don't love yourself and you judge yourself constantly and you shame yourself constantly, then you're probably going to reflect that onto how you see other people. And that's something I've really been learning the past few weeks. Like, it's okay to love yourself. Not in like a prideful, I'm better than everyone else way, but in like a, yeah, I deserve to love myself. God loves me. He loves you. He loves you so much. And he doesn't want you to hate yourself. And especially in the journey of working on becoming an even better version of you, like, you don't have to hate yourself because you're not exactly where you want to be yet. Love yourself through it. Give yourself grace. Like, life shouldn't be this crazy, serious, depressing, awful thing. Like, we can have fun while working on ourselves. So that's the episode. I hope you love it. Let me know. DM me on Instagram at HealthyBeHumanPod. Tag us listening. I'll repost you. And I would love to know your thoughts on the episode. If anything resonated with you, if you have any questions, I am here for you. We also have a group chat where it's a really supportive place. And I'll link it below. You can join that. We have a weekly virtual Bible study. So if you're looking for community, I got you. I got you covered. But on that note, thanks for listening. Thanks, John, for coming on the podcast today.
Yep, I loved it. Hope you guys learned something.
I hope you guys learned something too. But I'll see you next time. Have the best day. Keep shining, keep being amazing, and just keep being who God's calling you to be. And yeah, stay healthy, be human. See you next time. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.